Already 27 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning, we're joined by Dr. Don Clark from Garden Valley, Texas, which is about a couple of stone's throws east of Dallas in central Texas. You're almost in Louisiana, Don. I mean, you're not far. You're like half a stone's
throw. About 90 miles or so from the Louisiana border.
Okay.
So we're about midway between Dallas, Fort Worth, and Shreveport, Louisiana.
Of course, Louisiana is your home state, isn't it? You were raised there.
It is, yes. Mm-hmm. We were raised, my wife, too. She's from Baton Rouge, and I'm from New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay. All right. Well, Don, a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and we normally spend a lot of time in Genesis and the biblical story of creation and working out the details, filling in the context, and elaborating on the history. And sometimes over the last 6 months, probably, we've touched on COVID because Don has quite a bit of pharmaceutical experience, and he has some pretty strong opinions about how this COVID thing has been handled in the country. And now there's something new that's come to the surface, and I want to learn about this. We got a hint of it last week. Last week, Don, if you recall, we were talking about Dr. Lazenko's therapeutic regimen protocol and his preventative protocol, and we talked about vitamins, and we talked about how important zinc was to get into the cells and to defeat, I guess it prevents reproduction of the COVID virus cells, particles, whatever you call those. And it's the zinc that really does the work, but other vitamins help get it into the cells. Now, here's it's quercetin? I've been practicing that. Is that the right name?
Yes, it's quercetin.
Not quercetin. Oh, so, quercetin. Okay.
Quercetin is a, it is a plant flavonoid. It is what's called a polyphenol. And all that means is it has a lot of hydroxy groups around aromatic rings, and it's not an extremely complex structure, but it's similar actually in structure to hydroxychloroquine.
Now this is derived from plants, correct?
Is derived from plants, okay. And from seeds and from many different things. Actually, if you want to get a lot of quercetin in your system, eat a lot of capers. Capers is one of the foods that is the highest in quercetin, actually. And those who aren't necessarily Italian may not know about capers, but it's used in dishes like chicken piccata or shrimp piccata or something like that.
They look like tiny peas, except they're kind of acid and soury tasting.
Yeah. Yes, they're bitter, kind of bitter tasting. Mm-hmm. They're little buds, and
eats a bowl full of capers, do they?
I would, because I like them.
Really?
I usually don't.
Well, usually they're flavoring. They're an ingredient in an Italian dish, but a bowl of capers. I'll have to think on that a little bit. Okay.
But other things that contain quercetin. Is, for example, I mean, you'd have to eat a lot because it has about 200 milligrams per 100 grams of food. So 100 grams of capers would be quite a lot to munch down.
Too many capers, yeah.
Yeah, but I put capers on salmon. When you're broiling salmon or cooking salmon or something, you can put some capers on it. Mm-hmm. It's really lovely. But it's found in buckwheat and radishes. Radish leaves have it. A lot of leaves contain it. Carobe fiber, dill, cilantro, and so on. And some red onions, for example, have quercetin in it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a little story briefly here is that when I was working for a pharmaceutical company, actually it was the dermatology side of the pharmaceutical company, we were working on the first broad spectrum sunscreen. And so most sunscreens that you get have a UVB blocker, because UVB is the primary ultraviolet rays that causes sunburn, but UVA actually penetrates deeper than UVB, and so we were experimenting with some compounds, and we wound up putting quercetin in our sunscreen as a UVA blocker, because it absorbs quite nicely in the 370 in nanometer range, and so it was perfect as far as a UVA blocker. So we developed a broad spectrum sunscreen that had both UVA and UVB in it.
To do that, you'd have to first know that quercetin was safe to use, right?
Oh yes, quercetin was safe. Yeah,
no, it was already a known quantity then. So,
and back then we actually did safety trials. Can you imagine that?
Really?
Before the product was actually put on the market.
How innovative.
Yeah. And so not only did we have to show safety, we had to show effective. Is it effective? And so, apparently you don't have to do that anymore. You just get emergency use authorization and you don't have to show anything.
That's the key.
But that's for another day. We've already talked about that. But let's go back to quercetin, because besides this unique UVA blocking capability, it also has a lot of other capabilities. And here we have an article that describes two studies. They're not huge studies. I mean, the first one was only 42 patients, and they divided the group into 21 patients taking quercetin, and the other patient, the other 21, these are COVID patients, by the way, not taking quercetin but taking aspirin and antibiotic. And what they found was that the quercetin group, by 1 week, 16 of the 21 patients tested negative for COVID. And there were only two in the 12 in the other group that tested negative. But and by the end of 2 weeks, all patients tested negative, and they had no more symptoms of COVID. But in the untreated or the non-quercetin group, it took a while for their disease to clear up, and 17 out of the 19 tested negative after 2 weeks, but one had already died in the group. So it was encouraging and showed that the beneficial effects that quercetin might have. And I might add, just as a kind of early promotion, quercetin has many of the same properties of ivermectin. Most people know about ivermectin now and its beneficial effects in treating COVID. And so quercetin has a lot of the same properties. The other study was a 152 patient study. It was a hospital prospective study, and they found that the treated quercetin group, they basically sent them home and they didn't come back. Basically, in other words, they were healthy and they recovered from their disease with no severe cases in the quercetin group. This is much similar to Zelenko's.
Zelenko's. I'm looking at. In fact, for those listening, if you'd like to follow along with this report on quercetin, there's a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. It's an Epoch Times article that Dr. McCullough submitted, and then I'm looking at last week's article on Dr. Zelenko, and in his treatment options, he has quercetin 500 milligrams two times a day for 7 days. Now, this is treatment, so this quercetin apparently does nothing to defend you. It's not a prophylaxis. It's not a preventative, but after you've got it, it helps. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
No.
Okay. So, no, it of course, it hasn't been proven, but let's get into some of the mechanisms of action. Well, quercetin has the same properties of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin as far as being an ionophore in helping zinc get into the cells.
Uh-huh.
So it will have a beneficial preventative effect if you take quercetin, on a daily basis, and you're taking your zinc as prescribed in some of the preventative protocols by Zelensko, I guess, and others who encourage patients to take the vitamin A and the zinc and the vitamin C and other things. As a preventative, so it will help keep your immune system strong. It will help if something invades your cell. It will help get it in there, get the zinc in your cells, and thereby, if a virus like the coronavirus or any coronavirus or any flu virus gets into your cells, it will be beneficial in helping to inhibit the reproduction of the virus within your cell. I mean, that's the main purpose of the virus getting into your cell in the first place, is to reproduce itself using the cellular mechanisms.
There's some more good news here, too, I think, because if I want ivermectin, if I want hydroxychloroquine, I have to go to a doctor and get it prescribed. And some doctors, because of the medical system they're working in and policy, administration policy, will not give a prescription for ivermectin or there's too many words here, hydroxychloroquine. But quercetin, apparently, is available over the counter. You don't need a prescription. Where would you go? Would you go to an herbal, vitamin store or, a Target pharmacy? Or where would you find it?
Well, you would. It's a very common vitamin. And it's not really a vitamin, but it's a very common supplement, for example. Certainly your health food stores would have them. Your health food stores would probably have better formulations than you would find in your standard grocery store, like most things. But, the thing about quercetin and even hydroxychloroquine for that matter, or ivermectin, they are fat soluble. So if you, if we go back to the Italian dishes which have capers in them, for example,
yes,
they usually have a lot of olive oil and they usually have a lot of fats in
yes,
them.
Yes, they do.
Because those two go together. Well, you're enhancing the bioavailability of quercetin by taking it with fats. So if you're going to just take a dry dry capsule, for example, that the quercetin isn't already emulsified in a fatty substrate like a lecithin, which is just a fancy name for the lipids, a lipid compound.
This article says that quercetin was used in these studies with sunflower lecithin.
Yes, so that's it's just a lipid. It's a natural lipid, many oils, for example, even olive oil, have lipids in them, and lipids are just fatty acids attached to glycerin. And usually have two of the ends of a glycerin is just a three chain hydrocarbon with three hydroxyl groups on it, and on one of the ends is a fatty acid, on the other end is another fatty acid, and in the middle is usually a phosphate. In that case, it's called a phospholipid.
Is this the same thing as chelating? Because that helps get a vitamin into your system. It helps you absorb more. For example, last week we were talking about vitamin D with vitamin K2, for example. And you can find it, the two in combination in the same capsule. The K helps get the vitamin D into your system in greater quantities, greater or faster, perhaps. And you mentioned the word chelating. Is lecithin a chelating agent, or does chelate mean something else?
Chelates refer to ionic, ionic minerals, basically. So if you're taking zinc, you've got the option of taking zinc citrate. The citrate acts like a chelator. It binds to the zinc and makes it more organic and less ionic. And that will help get the zinc into the system. Whereas if you take something like zinc sulfate, it's a strong acid, so it produces a salt that almost completely dissolves. So your zinc is kind of naked. Mm-hmm. Your ionic zinc is naked in water or in your system, and so needs to bind to something else to get it into your cells. But this is, it actually is an emulsifier, if you want to talk about it in chemistry terms. It's an emulsifier, so it takes the oily compound, it's not oil, it's actually a dry powder, but it takes the normally water-insoluble quercetin, and it helps to solubilize it by the quercetin hiding, if you will, in the fatty regions of your fatty acids or your lipids.
Okay, so you should look for the quercetin. Then comes as a capsule, and in some cases, it's packaged within the capsule with a lecithin or some similar fat.
Yes, some similar fat would be, if you were going to take it by itself, that's the mode to take it in. If you were going to have it with a meal, normally when we're eating, we eat fats along mm-hmm. with, who wants to eat a meal without a fat in it? So,
yeah.
And so, who would want to eat extremely lean, meat, red meat, for example, or a steak? It's just not as appealing as having.
You would recommend, for example, quercetin with two strips of bacon would be nice.
Yeah, that would be, get a lot of fat with that. So, sure. Eat it with a meal. Take it with a meal. Most vitamins actually should be taken with meals anyway, because they're better absorbed through that process. I take all my vitamins with when I'm eating along with the food. So you can do it either way. It's cheaper if it's just in a dry capsule form. But you probably have to take a little more, so 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams. The great thing about quercetin, it's a natural product. It's not going to hurt you. There's no safety concerns here. So you can break up your dose to 3 times a day, or you can just take one bolus, dose, in the middle of the day or with your morning meal, whatever.
I know you're not a doctor, but this talks about 2 or 3 different levels of dosage for the experiments. 400 milligrams a day, 600 a day, recommendation?
Oh, I would take at least 400. The quercetin I take is 800 milligrams capsules, 2 capsules. In that one clinical study, they broke up a 600 milligram dose, for example, of the patients that were actually infected into 3 doses, yeah. Which means that the capsules were 200 milligrams instead of 400 milligrams. But I take 2 capsules, 400 milligrams each, which gives me 800 milligrams. Like I said, it's not gonna hurt you, and you might as well get the benefits of the compound, making sure it's you're getting enough in your system.
Both for a preventative and a treatment.
So if you have COVID, for example, I would up the quercetin maybe to 1,000 milligrams and take it. I would take it for 7 days at least while you still have symptoms of COVID at that level. And another important ingredient to take with your quercetin, which was talked about before, is vitamin C. So quercetin with vitamin C. Vitamin C, quercetin is also an antioxidant. Vitamin C is an antioxidant. So all of these things kind of work together to help boost your immune system and get it working the way God designed it. And quercetin is also an anti-inflammatory agent. So it has anti-inflammatory properties. It inhibits, for example, your inflammatory response for if you've heard of the cytokine storm that happens in several patients after they've gotten COVID, and the COVID is
churning your own immune system overreacting, right?
That's what your immune system is overreacting. Well, quercetin has a positive effect on that in dampening that response or in eliminating that response. So why wouldn't you want to take it? I mean, this is the same thing with ivermectin, by the way. That's why I said in the beginning of the program, it's a natural product to ivermectin. And so it has many of the same properties of ivermectin, and inflammatory inhibitory response is one of the positive things as well.
So how come we're just hearing about this? If it's been around for decades.
Again, there's no money to be made with this. Can you imagine? I mean, okay, so quercetin, it's ubiquitous. It's a substance in a lot of plants and a lot of, you know, seeds and various things and in grain. And so, you know, it's easy to extract and it's easy to come by. So it's actually a heck of a lot cheaper than ivermectin, for example. Mm-hmm. But it's a natural ingredient, so it's a natural compound, so you have to have there's got to be a reason to do a research on it. You know, if you're a vitamin specialist or a vitamin scientist or a natural ingredient scientist, you'd have interest in doing it. But if you're a pharmaceutical company, you're not making any money off of quercetin. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to do any studies with quercetin. Unless, of course, you're the company I was working with, but we were using it for a different reason. You know, it was still a health benefit. It blocked UVA rays.
Smells a little like Coppertone, I think.
Yeah. Well, you have to add those fragrances to your sunscreen. They don't naturally come with the compounds you're adding.
I say, you've been taking quercetin, haven't you? Okay.
I've been taking quercetin. I've been taking about 800 milligrams per day of quercetin, and it's usually either with my morning meal or midday or something like that. But it also has beneficial effects for men as well. And so there are a lot of benefits to quercetin. It's also been found, for example, to bind to the virus and to inhibit its binding to your cells. So that's very reminiscent of ivermectin, because ivermectin does the same thing. And so, you know, I like to think of quercetin as God's gift to us for such a time as this. You know, had we done this research years ago, there would be no vaccines. Mm-hmm. And we just eat the right foods and take the right supplements.
You know what would be a lot of fun with you sometime is to have a conversation on folk medicine. You know, if we go back 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, what were people taking to beat headaches or to combat fever or chills or nausea or whatever else plagues human beings? I'll bet they had stuff that they relied upon.
They had all kinds of stuff. You know, there are tree barks, different tree barks that had different properties. And, you know, you go to, I mean, China, you know, ancient China has all of the herbal medicines. I mean, even, you know, when I was in the UK, the UK has had a lot of herbal medicines and herbal stuff. We now, you know, have here in the United States. I mean, the United States, we pushed drugs. We didn't push herbal because that was folklore, and that's not going to help you.
It was myth. Yeah.
It's myth. And but, all, you know, it has a lot of these natural compounds in them that have very beneficial effects. So taking the right substance, for example, taking the right tree bark for a certain type of disease, the old great-great-grandmother who used to say, well, here, drink a little bit of this tea. Mm-hmm. And it tasted like, you know, it didn't taste very good, but sure enough, it helped you.
I learned something just a while back, because I've been taking blood pressure medication for a couple of years, plus a baby aspirin, a low-dose aspirin. And no doctor has indicated that there are bad effects of taking aspirin in a chronic sort of way, one daily. But I did find out in my studies, probably connected with one of your conversations here, that can affect your hearing and other things over time. And so you might want to consider an alternative, which is, let's see if I can say it right, another succinyl, which is made from willow bark. It comes from France, and it's essentially natural aspirin.
Natural aspirin. Aspirin is a natural, well, was a natural product until we started
synthesizing it. Yeah, now it's made by combining chemicals, which is what causes the problems. If you get it from the natural ingredient from the bark, it doesn't have those side effects.
Right. Yeah, and so going back, we're getting more and more natural product, stores these days. And actually, my daughter works for a natural product store. They do. They go a little bit further in helping identify which products, might be most beneficial for you with certain type of illnesses or diseases. And that basically goes above and beyond what most health food stores will provide you with. So it's becoming more and more recognized, at least in the non-conventional medical field. Your medical doctors aren't going to know any of this. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, unless, they've done a lot of reading outside of their medical profession.
Yeah, I don't know how doctors keep up with all the research on all the stuff. So sometimes you just go to a specialist and find out. Does quercetin have another name? Is it called something else on the market? Or can we look
it's quercetin.
Look for quercetin. Okay. Interesting. And once again, the link to this article, so you can do a little research yourself if you'd like, is at brokenroadradio.com. Just click on it in the chat window there. And we're not collecting your information. Nope, none of that stuff. Just click on it. It'll take you to the Epoch Times page where this study is talked about on quercetin. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to mention their website. It's creationmoments.com. And that's where you go if you'd like some scientific information about the biblical story of creation. And it's there in printed form, and there's a radio show that goes over something like 900 radio stations around the world every day, and videos and whatnot. So creationmoments.com, highly recommended website. Don, we'll look forward to next week, and who knows what else you'll dig up. My medicine cabinet is starting to fill up with all kinds of things here now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good. Yes, it was good bringing folks' attention to this natural product and this natural substitute for ivermectin, for example.
Quercetin. Q-U-E-R.
C-E.
C-T-I-N. Yeah. Quercetin.
Yeah.
Don, we'll see you next week. Take care.
All righty. Very good. You too.